One thing that I've noticed greatly over the years of really looking into resistance is that, as I was mentioning earlier, if we resist resistance, then it just layers that resistance. If there's some sort of acceptance of resistance, then now we have a different relationship that brings new possibility. And so you might even sense in yourself a kind of instinct to be present with resistance, because, you know, if you poke at it too much or push it or pry it too much, then it just doubles down and often entrenches itself further. But if there's a kind of capacity to allow resistance with the sense that, of course, it's present. It's one of the, you know, this push and pull and back and forth is essential in all of life. And sometimes it goes on overdrive. You know, sometimes it gets a lot of momentum of our conditioned. Our conditioned self that's less organic, the difficult conditioning that just really drives it in further. And often that's due to, you know, difficult experiences that have taught us, you know, to steer things in a different direction when we sense them going awry. So there's some great intelligence in this, but sometimes it goes on automatic and it's just in play, as though the conditioning is like asleep at the wheel, and it just is just so automated that we don't always look at it. So this is the challenge for tonight that I give you, is to look at this even more deeply. And so as I've looked at it more deeply, what I've instinctively known is to give it space and be open to what it might be trying to communicate, or toward what might support it and what is needed. And probably one of the more obvious ways that people register resistance, but besides the tendency to kind of adhere to an egocentric experience that you know, entrenches itself in ideas about, you know, I want this, I don't want that, I believe this, I don't believe that. But another way that people experience it really predominantly, this felt sense of resistance, is in this existential grip in the gut that Adya talks about, just sort of this primal no. You know, it's like, And so as I've looked at that over the years, I've really been a very kinesthetic person, but also a visual person. If you're auditory, you might, you know, hear that sense of no. But I've really just looked at that sense of the grip in the gut. And, you know, normally the way we're often taught growing up to look at something is to look at it in order to get answers, or in order to get in order to direct our experience towards some sort of resolution or solving. But resistance can pick up on it. It sniffs that out, you know, like if it feels any kind of agenda to be fixed or solved or rooted out and be gotten rid of, or, you know, it just entrenches further often. Or at least it doesn't tend to shift. But there's that kind of seeing, you know, they talk about it even in physics, that whatever we look at moves, you know, it shifts, it changes. And what I've been interested in over the years is, what is the quality of that looking when we're looking at resistance that may begin to transform it? And so there's a kind of looking at, you know, or of resistance, it feels like a fist or a break in your gut. There's a quality of looking that is a true being with. And I think of this quality of being with as an incredibly healing thing. And I've also looked at, and maybe some of you have really looked at this too, like, what is it that heals? And there seems to be a way that maybe what I'm about to say isn't all-inclusive. Maybe it is, who knows, but there's a way that when we're truly with something, it is an amazingly significant thing. So, you know, maybe you experienced the death of a pet, a loved one, something close, and you may have had that experience where somebody was able to be with you in that time of sorrow, and they were just simply with you. You know, you didn't even have to talk or name what was happening. You know, both people are aware of the grief or sadness or anger or whatever it might be, but there's a sense of being with. And somehow it feels really different than being alone with oneself, which sometimes is also a being with, you know, a real being with oneself where you don't really feel alone at all because it's so intimate. But you may have also had that experience with another person. But the quality of that can just be such a soothing balm is that there's this kind of being with without any agenda, without any need to fix or change. The real magic is in that being with, the togetherness and the presence and the quality of okayness that comes with the genuine regard for being with that person, regardless of whether the experience is really difficult or really pleasant. You know, there's just that the importance is in the being with. And I'm sure you've had experiences where you're deeply listened to, and it was the power of that presence of that person who is deeply listening to you and bearing witness to your process or whatever you might be sharing or even not speaking. But somehow the power of that being with created an environment that felt safe. It felt supported. It felt like it just consummately allowed you to be exactly as you are. And there's something really incredible about that type of being with. And maybe you've had a time where you were sick, and a thought comes to my mind of a friend who I know who has experienced chronic illness. And one of the most amazing friendships she's had is, you know, when a person came to be with her at her bedside when she was spending months after months in bed. And this person just sat in quiet and they worked on their quilting. And, you know, there was this being together. And so this being together can be of great support, whether somebody's speaking their mind and sharing what's happening for them, whether it's difficult or joyous. But there's also that being with that feels, you know, perhaps it's in quiet where it may even support a deeper feeling that is beyond words or description, or it may be something more physical, a kind of pain, and that being with is just can make all the difference in the world. When we are abiding in our own nature as spirit and being present for our own relative human experience and its ups and downs, we can feel two expressions of ourselves simultaneously. We may feel a sense of our nature as spirit that is untouched by the difficulty. That may even take on dimension over time, where that sense of spirit conveys a kind of presence or okayness or allowance that makes all the difference in the world in moments of difficulty. I like to say it's the sweet that goes with the bitter. And, you know, a bitter experience is hard to swallow, but it is a bittersweet, you know, that makes it all the easier to meet and live through.